Is light important to our design? Mitochondrial health, preventing disease, and how to protect yourself from aging as you get the sun you need. You have been given an amazing design, from a cut that heals automatically to a nursing mama whose body makes perfect milk for her baby without knowing the recipe, to our fabulous immune system that makes antibodies against the bad guys. Is it possible that studying our design could bring us a higher level of health? That once understood, this can help you live your healthiest, most vibrant life? We mentioned the pillars of health in the first episode, bacteria in the second. Today, we'll go into detail on sunlight, its antibacterial properties, how a level of 40 to 90 nanograms per milliliter can reduce your chance of degenerative disease, cancer, autoimmune issues, lower blood pressure, boost the immune system, regulate circadian rhythms, keep your bones strong, and the most look forward to part, how to protect yourself from aging as you get the sun you need. I started this podcast because I want people to know that the way their body works is not mysterious or scary. There is logic behind how we were created. We don't have to fear disease mysteriously taking over our body. It really doesn't happen in a mysterious way. We were made in an orderly fashion, and even though we are individuals, there are foundational principles that, when we abide by them, bring health over time. My goal is to have you enjoy health so good that you don't have to think about it much. You understand what works with the way you're designed, so you have the energy and focus and lack of pain so that you can fulfill the calling that you have received. For 30 years, I've studied health, and more than half of that time working actively in people's lives to help them get health. I've seen what makes a difference in people's lives. When I ask people suffering with weird symptoms if they are low in vitamin D, some will ask surprised, "How did you know?" I want you to know, to be able to recognize such signs, and I think you will after listening to this episode a few times. Yet, I'm not a medical doctor. If a doctor has the information you're looking for to heal a disease, please see your doctor. I do not know everything, and I definitely don't know as much as your doctor does about drugs. If you are looking for help with a disease, the government has stated that only your doctor has the cure. Legally, only drugs are allowed to quote unquote cure disease. Today we will focus on how sun can help, as well as what happens when we don't get enough. Is light a needed nutrient? The sun is amazing. If it was placed closer to the earth, we would fry further and we would freeze and die. Either way, it appears that the sun is the perfect distance away to sustain life on earth with its amazing varieties of climates. Did you ever find yourself feeling so happy when the sun came out after you were missing it for a while and you were in its comforting warmth on, say, a spring morning? The sun can feel so good sometimes, so good that research shows for some it can reverse depression. Or to put it another way, one of the signs of vitamin D or sunshine deficiency is depression. I'm sure you know someone who's moved to Washington State and then been affected by seasonal affective disorder. They have tremendous greenery there because they have 300 days a year with rain, but not as much sun as someone from another area might be used to, causing them to get sad or depressed. There can be many reasons to feel sad. Just consider that if another reason is not obvious, lack of sunshine or vitamin D may be it, or even one of the reasons. This is a small sign that light may be a needed nutrient for humans. Let's take a look at how needed light is for plants. My husband is starting seeds in the house right now for our spring garden. The evenings, however, are still cool right now for seeds to sprout well, so every evening he brings the starter trays into the house to stay warm at night. In the morning, he brings them into the greenhouse for filtered sun that the little sprouts can handle. Have you seen what happens when a seedling gets no sun or very little sun? It gets pale, usually leggy, long, and stringy as it stretches toward the nearest light source. Why does it stretch like that? It hopes to get closer to the source of light so that it can do what plants do. Plants make important nutrients they need for growth using the process of photosynthesis, as you probably learned in elementary school. Plants use light to synthesize or literally make their own food. With that process, the leggy, pale little plants become more sturdy. They become darker green. The sunlight is a needed nutrient for plants. Could sunlight be a needed nutrient for humans as well? Sunlight converts the cholesterol just inside the skin into vitamin D. If you look at the chemical structure of cholesterol, you will see it is almost identical to vitamin D. I think cholesterol is C27, H46O, and cholecalciferol is, or vitamin D3, is C27, H44O. The kidneys take an OH group and the liver take an OH group from the sunlight on cholesterol and they transform it into vitamin D. The process works amazingly well in most people, unless the liver and the kidneys have major issues, or we're low in stomach acid, or we don't eat enough fat to utilize our fat-soluble nutrients. So because D is a vitamin and necessary for life, let's consider the foods that are high in vitamin D. Sunflower seeds may have 1 IU per tablespoon. Caged, store-bought eggs may have 100 to 200 IUs of D. Pastured chicken eggs may provide 300 to 1400 IUs per egg. Something about a happy chicken running around in the sun and the grass makes their eggs far more nutritious. Lard from a pastured animal may have 500 IUs per teaspoon, and cod liver oil has a similar amount added per teaspoon. As you can see, there are not many food sources, especially when you realize that a couple of hours sunbathing might provide you with 30,000 IUs. This means that we seem to have been designed to have sunlight as our primary source. Could our skin be more than just a protective covering for our insides? Could the skin that covers us be photosensitive solar panels? If our skin was a solar panel, it would have to have a purpose. It might even be a needed way of getting the nutrients that we need. There is some research showing that lack of vitamin D can be a factor in preventing a woman from getting pregnant. Once a baby is born, if jaundiced, sunshine on their bare little body, even through a window, can help the immature liver break down the bilirubin and make the yellow skin become more normal. It's apparent that we need sunlight to make vitamin D that we need. ClinicalTrials.gov has a study registered that says children's asthma is reduced in those mothers who consumed more vitamin A and D, but it has a warning, kind of looks like a fact checker warning on social media that says just because the government published the study doesn't mean they approve of it. So let's consider, shouldn't we avoid the sun to prevent cancer? Researcher Dr. Michael Hollick warned over a decade ago that avoiding sun exposure to prevent skin cancer results in such a drop in vitamin D levels that for every life saved from skin cancer, over 100 people will lose their lives to other forms of cancer. Cellular miscommunication has been shown to happen in the top killers in our country. Diabetes, heart disease, and many other issues can be traced to cellular malfunction in the mitochondria, where the energy in the cell is produced. Vitamin D is actively involved in making sure our cells get the right messages. If our body's mitochondria gets gunked up, we may not have the right messages being communicated to our cells. So we'll talk about that in another episode, how to get the mitochondrial communication working right. That's one of the goals of this podcast, to help you understand your design rather than a scientific discourse on why things go wrong. I want to share with you the why as well as simple ways to make your mitochondria function better. Many problems can occur when cells don't communicate properly, yet vitamin D is shown in research to switch on a protein that blocks aggressive cell division. Think of how important this is. Where do we see aggressive cell division? The trademark of cancer is cells that reproduce wrongly. They don't know when to quit. there is some form of cellular communication that gets interrupted. A normal cell does its job over its lifetime and then it dies and it's replaced by a new, healthy cell. Cancer is when the cells don't seem to get the memo and they continue growing abnormally. Would you call that aggressive cell division? If you had aggressive cell division, wouldn't you want a protein that blocks it? Does that mean vitamin D prevents some major diseases? That healing from disease may not be necessary if you never get a disease in the first place. Keeping the mitochondria and the internal mechanisms that are designed to protect us and keep the cells reproducing properly may be a powerful means of prevention. Dr. Colin Champ is an oncologist, and he says mitochondria up, glucose down is good for cancer patients. When vitamin D receptors are filled, tumors can't grow as well because blood supply is cut. Collagen and glutamine also help with that, but that's for another episode as well. 2011 research showed that a serum level of 50 nanograms per milliliter comes with it a 50% lower risk of breast cancer. More controlled trials are recommended, but Garland says, why wait? It's safe. I have seen clients have their cholesterol skyrocket when vitamin D gets low. It's almost like the body wants to do everything it can to give you the tools to make the vitamin D that it needs, primarily cholesterol. Cholesterol issues will also be addressed in another issue or episode. But your body looks for cholesterol, sunshine, and vitamin D. Maybe that's why we feel depressed when we're not feeling sunshine, because we need it. A big reason they are so critical to health is that both sunshine and vitamin D get the mitochondria working right. How much is too much? Vitamin D is a fat-soluble nutrient, so yes, there is such a thing as too much. I know that our design put in a protective measure, melanin, to stop the absorption of vitamin D when we get too much from the sun. But it also seems that there's a protective mechanism from K2. Recent research shows that 10,000 IUs daily of vitamin D is not toxic long-term if you also get 100 micrograms K2, as the K2 directs the D3 to go where it needs to go. It's peculiar, but 10 years ago when someone brought me their blood work, the range for vitamin D was 41 nanograms per milliliter to 50. Shortly after that, almost every lab work I've seen since said the reference range was 30 to 100. And recently, I've even seen a few local hospitals' lab work say that 20 to 100 is normal. To give you a little perspective, there's research that says that the people whose level was 30 to 40 were not likely to have a cytokine storm if exposed to COVID. And the people with 20 or less were far more likely to end up in the hospital and die. So I'd say the protective mechanism in our skin is melanin, so that we cannot absorb too much D from the sun. And the protective mechanism of supplementation is taking K2 to direct your D3 where to put the calcium. Low levels of vitamin D are linked to a high risk of premenopausal breast cancer in many studies. A study published on grassrootshealth.net says vitamin D increases breast cancer patient survival. They say 4,000 IUs per day of vitamin D from food or supplement normally would reach a serum level of 50 nanograms per milliliter, and that reduces breast cancer incidence by 50%. The Journal of Internal Medicine says avoiding the sun is a risk factor for death similar to the magnitude of smoking. A study from 2012 is trending right now on PubMed. I'll link it in the show notes as it's confirming all the things we just talked about and even the quantities. It's so fascinating that this article is trending now, 10 years later. It's just as important now as then, but it seems we just keep throwing money at things that we have researched showing symptoms of low vitamin D, thinking that money will make a difference. Is not going out in the sun evidence that we need a change in our lifestyle? Is it possible that lifestyle battles could be won if we really changed our lifestyle? In 1971, the president at the time was advised to throw billions of taxpayer dollars and call it a war on cancer, which he did. Yet cancer in real numbers is up in all age groups. Research says we haven't made the changes that will make the difference yet. Autoimmune issues. I'm going to say research says again, and I feel like I'm a little redundant, but know that when I say something, it's because either research or experience has shown it. But you have 2,700 or more receptor sites for vitamin D in your body. When those sites are not filled, and then the body can't recognize what's you and what is enemy, and it may attack you as though your own body were an enemy. That's where weird symptoms come from. This is the foundation of most, if not all, autoimmune issues. Recently, I ran across research that says that even celiac disease begins with low vitamin D. Yes, I realize that grains and the chemicals that are sprayed on them to desiccate them have something to do with it as well. But if our vitamin D is up, it seems more people can tolerate the junk. But the bottom line is that every autoimmune issue seems to respond well to getting vitamin D up. Dr. Mercola was the loudest voice in the field of health, letting people know that natural is better and that most things respond to supplementation. He's a doctor I respect greatly, not just because he's very vocal about the difference nutrients can make in a person's life, but also because he's a voracious reader. He reads about 20 books a month. How does he do that? He actually moved to Florida so he could live what he preaches and get the sun he needs. He moved to Florida and enjoys his mornings walking along the beach, listening to audiobooks. That's how he gets 20 books in a month. He's got a lot of knowledge that we need to at least consider. When I started teaching high school health about 10 years ago, he had a video series that I required our students to watch, so I've watched it many times. I'll try to summarize his ideas as they are paradigm shifting to our conversation today, and I think he's brilliant. He said when we accepted that vitamin D was a vitamin because there was a deadly deficiency disease with not having enough, we never continued to do the research to find out at what level those diseases would disappear. We know that people in the hospital with certain diseases are low in vitamin D. We also know how much D someone has when they go into the hospital and how much of a difference that makes. For example, when two women enter the hospital with cancer at 15 nanograms per milliliter and the other has 30 nanograms or 35 nanograms per milliliter, the one with 35 is twice as likely to survive. UCSD School of Medicine, March Anti-Cancer Research. When people have certain levels of vitamin D, they're less susceptible to such issues, autoimmune problems, and osteoporosis. But do we know at what point those problems go away? We really don't have the evidence of large-scale studies or even the possibility of joining one until recently. DAction.org or grassrootshealth.net are important resources as they offer at-home vitamin D test kits. That is a test that I think is worth getting at home. They also request you give your vitamin D tested twice per year and submit the results. That way, we have a body of research on people who are keeping their vitamin D levels up, not just research on those entering the hospital with disease. Today, I checked to make sure their sites are still active. They are, and they are more beautiful and useful than ever. For example, there's an article on grassrootshealth.net saying nursing mamas should take 6,400 IUs of vitamin D. Sounds like a lot, right? But remember, you can get 30,000 IUs or more in a few hours in the sun. Dr. Mercola used to recommend only sun to his patients, but he found few getting enough to prevent issues, so he started recommending supplementing with D3 and K2. Healing a disease may not be necessary if you never get a disease in the first place. Keeping the mitochondria and the internal mechanisms that protect us and keep the cells reproducing properly may be a powerful means of prevention. Another brilliant doctor, Dr. Jack Cruz, no relation, has figured out the quantum biological relationship between our light environment and mitochondria. He claims that sunlight can fix a lot of our ills and can even balance out the blue light damage from our computer usage so that there's less damage to our eyes and skin. Wow, sunshine can offset blue light. Wild thought, huh? At least I thought it was, but my seventh grade student knew that after many hours of in front of the computer, going outside into the sunlight helped her eyes feel better. No surprise to her. There are nutrients that offset blue light as well that you can take as a supplement. It's interesting. When you think of light, it's not white, right? It's a full spectrum of color. Think of a rainbow, a full circle of every color in order. The nutrients that can offset blue light are things like lutein and zeaxanthin. You can get both in high amounts in kale, which is green, obviously. But most supplements of them are made from marigolds, which are yellow gold. Kind of interesting that blue plus yellow equals green. I don't know if there's a significance to that yet. But I have read recently that each color in the spectrum has specific nutritional benefits. I haven't found any research to support that yet, but I am watching for it. A bit of the history of using light rays to heal. Some of it goes back to early 1900s. Kellogg, the brother of the man of cereal fame in 1910, published a book with the Good Health Publishing Company in which he claims that sunlight could make such a positive influence on our health that he expected every hospital to have a sort of sunshine bed for therapy with light in it. That's his book, Light Therapeutics. It's interesting that his fame really didn't get us past the cereal his brother is credited for when he made such beneficial discoveries for our health, like what sunlight or what light could do. So, relation of vitamin D to the bacteria in a healthy gut. It turns out vitamin D is important to intestinal homeostasis. It makes sure that there's a good amount of antimicrobial peptides and that they are signaled to protect against foreign bacteria. And at the same time, it strengthens the walls. It helps the inside of the intestinal lining be strengthened by having the cells mesh together better. So it reduces the permeability in the intestinal lining, which prevents autoimmune responses, inflammation, allergies, leaky gut. In simple terms, the study said you can tell vitamin D signaling is important because when the signal is disrupted, you get chronic inflammation. Vitamin D helps gut bacteria, and when D is low, autoimmune issues go up. I'll link to the abstract and another study in the show notes. How do you know if you're getting enough vitamin sun? That's funny. I didn't mean to move it to write it like that, but it makes sense. Here are some of the things to consider. Time of the day you're outside. If you are shorter than your shadow, your skin cannot make vitamin D, according to Dr. Mercola. Skin pigmentation. Darker skin can absorb less, so be sure to bare your lightest parts, if you can. Clothing covering your lightest parts will prevent sun from entering, and so will sunscreen. Sunscreen, introduced in 1988. How much more cancers and autoimmune issues do we have now? You know, I was working in the nutritional center in the 90s, and when I came back in the 2000s, autoimmune issues were a huge issue, and I just don't remember that being an issue back then. Working inside all day can mean that you need to get out in the sun more. If you weigh a little more, more vitamin D is required. Lack of stomach acid or taking antacid drugs can make a big difference. A missing gallbladder. So protect yourself from aging as you get the sun you need. We know that getting burned is bad, but did you know that there are natural ways to prevent burning that do not cause cancer and may even prevent it? Have you ever been told to wear sunscreen? Where did this idea come from? The idea that putting chemicals on our skin and baking them on is somehow good for us. This has been parroted so much, we teach it to our children, but is it true? What about UV ray damage? Great question. And there are polyphenols that can help protect us when we venture out to get our vitamin D. Recent research shows sun avoidance brings a price tag of cancer that is as great as smoking. I want you to grasp this, so I'm going to say it another way that fits the research. A person who avoids the sun runs as much risk of getting cancer as one who smokes. So research says there's a difference between skin that ages in a chronological way and skin that is sun damaged because of reactive oxygen species or free radicals. I would say I've seen this in my own life. I know people who get a lot of sun over their lifetime, and yet they don't look like the sun has aged them extra. The difference, according to research and what I have seen, is that the damage can be prevented with polyphenols. There were beverages a couple years ago that were made to be high in polyphenols that protect the skin from sun damage. I think they'll sell well once people realize what they can do and how important they are. The research also shows that these nutrients can prevent damage if used in a cream. So I'll include a link in the show notes to a recent study that reviews a lot of different herbs looking for how they can protect the skin from sun damage. It's pretty fascinating. I found it accidentally this week as I researched marigold or calendula for the botany class I teach, as it's one of the herbs with protective action, whether it's eaten in a salad or made into an extract and added to a cream and used as moisturizer. I have kept in mind every week as I sunbathe to think about the polyphenols I've enjoyed that week, just to make sure that my skin stays healthy. Ask people who have aged well. Some may say they stay out of the sun, but I still contend that research and experience has shown me that sun damage doesn't seem to be the issue you would think of if one focuses on polyphenols. When I think of polyphenols, I think of colorful nutrients, especially pomegranates, sambucus, or elderberry, for example. You know what is another great polyphenol provider or sunscreen? Is cocoa butter. Is that wild? Chocolate is good for everything. No, I'm totally kidding. But I'm not. Cocoa butter is amazing as a sunscreen. I've used it a few times. So I've used cocoa butter and it works really well. So let me ask you, do you think sunshine could be a necessary nutrient? I love the sun and I believe it is a gift from God. The way light makes vitamin D using the cholesterol under our skin prevents so many issues, it makes me love it even more. If we have spoken personally about health issues, I've probably asked if you go out in the sun regularly or if you take D3 with K2. It's that important. And it's honestly hard to define as the symptoms can vary so much. But if you have weird symptoms that don't fall in any specific category, it just may be that you are low in vitamin D. Rarely do I get low in vitamin D as I always try to be aware of how much sun I'm getting. And in Southern California, it's not hard to get. Yet I still supplement upon occasion. I ran out for a while and I got weird shooting short jabby pains in my hand. Yet when I consider that it's February, when the sun seems its weakest and I haven't supplemented D3 and K2 in a while, it makes sense. So be aware of how much sun you are getting, especially if you rarely go out or work indoors all day. Make sure you're supplementing if there's no way for you to naturally get the sun that you need. And if you're committed to helping others as you help yourself, consider joining D Action and getting tested twice per year to make sure your levels are up. Has sunlight or vitamin D helped you in some way? I'd love to hear your stories. Send them to healthbydesign@socalgardenhealth.com. One other thing just occurred to me. If you are Christian, dig into what the Bible says about light, especially in Revelation, where we are told that God will be our source of light. So listen regularly to Mind the Gold that you need. Like, subscribe, and tell your friends. The hosting and transcription of this podcast is paid for by advertisers within the podcast, but only ones that I believe in and endorse. If you hear it from outside the podcast, then I have no control over it. My time is paid for by our private podcast subscribers. It shows me that you like the podcast and you want me to continue. It also gives you the benefit of delving deeper into topics of interest to you. Every month, every one of the three private podcast levels gets the benefit of extra monthly audios where I do a Q&A audio. Send your questions to the above address, healthbydesign@socalgardenhealth.com. And I also read out of classic health texts. I think January's included an excerpt from the great Robert Mendelsohn about how to handle fever in a child, when to be concerned, keeping them hydrated. Have you heard of him? This doctor dedicated his life to demystifying the medical profession, and he's even quoted as saying, "Mothers, grandmothers, and Mother Nature are the best doctors around." Your subscription to these audios includes all back issues whenever you start. But I want to encourage you to start right now because I do have a special going on. There's a coupon code for the Silver membership that I will leave in the show notes for charter subscribers, which allows you to subscribe for only $4 a month instead of $7. And honestly, I have a couple of individuals that whose work I love that I support this way. And to justify it, I got off my iTunes subscription so that I could choose who I'm giving my money to. Your call, of course. Just a thought. The gold level is also being offered at a special introductory rate of $30 instead of $40, and that includes a monthly group webinar to discuss health issues. There's also a platinum level that includes individual coaching session monthly. You won't find a deal this good for you anywhere else as we explore your health by design. Stay healthy, my friend.